Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio program here this evening. And if you're out on the roads right now, be careful while you're driving. It seems like closer you are toward Lake Erie, the worse the roads are. Got on the highway to come up here today. We had pavement. And as I was heading north on 77, the pavement was gradually disappearing. And I think by the time, if you're on 77, got above Pleasant Valley Road or near Pleasant Valley Road, right in that vicinity, traffic was really slowing down. The roads were really deteriorating considerably at that point. And by the time we arrived at the station here, you could hardly see anything. It was almost a whiteout. So it's going through, but hey, this is northeastern Ohio, and this is wintertime. And it was about, I think it was on this date or yesterday, I guess. Maybe it was yesterday. In 1978, we had some record-breaking snow and cold blizzard conditions in 1978 on about this date, I think, and an anniversary of several record-breaking snowstorms, I think, in the late 70s. That's why during the late 70s in school, all we heard about was the coming global ice age. And, of course, that disappeared and gave way to global warming, which gave way to climate change, and they got to keep changing it because it doesn't always cooperate, do what they want to do. If you're out on the roads, keep safe, keep a grip on the wheel, watch the traffic. Traffic's heavy out there tonight, and it is slippery in some spots. We saw one car spun off the road I think it was down in Brecksville, and had shortly gone off the road, and so it's slippery if you're not careful. All right, well, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program and pray that you watch over us, Lord. Use us for your glory in some way tonight to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to somebody, to point people that are searching to Christ, to encourage believers in their walk with you. Use the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and if you go there, you can find out a bit about us. You can certainly listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, and you can also check out some of the articles and different things that we have available at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and we'll have more information on that about 11:30, and then at the end of the program about just before midnight. So certainly invite you to come out and visit us. Speaking of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we had a really great time of fellowship today. Some years ago, I know a lot of churches do what they call sweetheart banquets around Valentine's Day, and some years ago, this is probably close to 20 years ago, and maybe more, we were talking about doing something, and we said, well, we have a lot of people who are either widowed or they're single, never married, and being a small church, if we did a sweethearts banquet, there was only going to be about two or three couples. And we thought, why not do something for the entire church? And we instituted a spaghetti dinner, which we do every year, generally the Sunday honor about just around Valentine's Day. Of course, that's tomorrow. So today being February 13th, we did our spaghetti dinner. And boy, we had a good turnout of people today. Was kind of concerned, got up this morning and saw the roads covered with snow. Snow was coming down pretty good in Richfield. And we thought we had some people that didn't show up, I'm sure, because of the snow. But even so, we had a good turnout. Lots of good food, lots of good fellowship, and enough food, too, that we had leftovers tonight after the evening service before everybody cleared out. So it was just kind of nice, and certainly appreciate everybody that worked and prepared and helped put things together for our spaghetti dinner at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church here today. And, well, let's see, got a couple other things coming up. We, of course, have our regular program here on Sunday nights, but we also have a Friday program every Friday at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. Encourage you to tune in there, and sometimes we get some different guests and things that are on there, and we'll have some special guests coming up in the near future, hopefully, but do want to remind people who come to our Friday night Bible study that this coming Friday, we meet, of course, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We're a small church, don't have a whole lot of money, and we were renting a building that the people who owned the building lost the building. And so we had to move out of that building on somewhat short notice back some years ago. And we looked around, found a place to go into on a temporary basis. And so in April of 2009, we went into the Richfield Holiday Inn Express on a temporary basis. And we've been there temporarily ever since. It's worked out well enough for us with our size church and everything. But we've been there a number of years, but there's a group of people that meet there a couple times a year that have been meeting there longer than we have, and so they're preempting us this coming weekend. So this Friday, our Friday night Bible study will be in the breakfast area at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and so look for us there, not in a regular meeting room. And then on Sunday, and this will be, that'd be Friday the 18th, that's this coming Friday, and then Sunday, a week from today, Sunday, February 20th, we're going to be in, I believe it'll probably be the third floor suite directly above the breakfast area on that Sunday for the morning service and the evening service. And then, Lord willing, following weekend, we'll be back in the regular meeting room that we normally use. So if you're thinking about visiting us or you're somebody who comes, I just want to let you know about that. All right, we're going to get into our program. Got a couple things I want to mention here before we get into our phone calls. And certainly pray for what's happening in the world, around the world, a number of things that are going on. And we had something we were talking about a little bit last Friday night at our Friday night Bible study, and it's been in the news, of course, and that's the situation between Russia and the Ukraine. And what's happening right now, of course, if you've been following much of this in the news, a number of years ago during the Obama administration, Biden was vice president then, during the Obama administration, Russia annexed the Crimean Peninsula. Now, the Crimean Peninsula, to give you a little bit of geography here, is located in the north-central portion of the Black Sea. The Black Sea is directly north of Turkey, and it's bordered by Turkey, the central Asian Republic of Georgia. On the east, it's got Bulgaria, Romania, Moldova on the west, along with Turkey on the south and the Ukraine on the north. And Russia has some border with it on our coastline, I guess you could say, with the Black Sea on the northeast side. And What's interesting is that when Russia annexed the Crimean Peninsula from the Ukraine, they increased their presence in the Black Sea considerably. If you look on a map, you can see this. And right now, Russia, of course, has got a number of troops that they've moved into Belarus, which is on the north side of the Ukraine. And there were a number of ships that they had, transport ships, that had set sail from the northern ports of Russia, sailed out through the Barents Sea, the Norwegian Sea, down through the North Sea, through the English Channel, around through the Atlantic Ocean, and from the Atlantic Ocean through the Straits of Gibraltar into the Mediterranean Sea, and sailing from the Mediterranean Sea, supposed to be headed for the Aegean Sea, which is located between Greece and Turkey, and from there, there's the where Istanbul is the Bosphorus, Straits of Bosphorus that go into the Black Sea. And supposedly they're bringing all these troops, all this long distance. Look at a map sometime. It's an incredible distance. And when you look at that distance, remember, Russia already has a presence on the Black Sea, and they occupy, they've annexed the Crimean Peninsula. So why are they moving all these ships loaded with materials, equipment, munitions, men, all this long distance? And thought kind of occurred as we were looking at this last Friday night, talking about this, that Putin is bringing these people through this area. They have a base on the Mediterranean, a port that they control in Syria, northern part of Syria. And I was thinking of what the Bible talks about in Ezekiel chapter 38, where it says, "And the word of the Lord," starting in verse 1, "the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Garmath, and of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." And it continues on, and it talks about how Gog and Magog are drawn in to this invasion of Israel. Now, I'm not saying that we're about to see Ezekiel 38 play out, but it is rather interesting that with the Biden administration's abdication of a larger role in the Middle East, many of the Middle Eastern countries, Israel included, do not feel like they can trust the United States, that they cannot trust the Biden administration, and many of them, Israel included, are looking to Russia for trade, for protection, for a variety of things. And what if Putin was getting everybody to focus on the Ukraine, but his real goal was to do exactly what's described here in Ezekiel chapter 38, and move these troops that are already down near the western or eastern Mediterranean Sea, move them into place to where they would come into Syria, and they would be able to move down from there into Israel? Because otherwise, why does he need to do all these ships and everything such a long distance to supply troops to the Crimean Peninsula? I mean, he can just move them by rail. He's doing that into Belarus. They've got a long border between the Ukraine and Russia, and they can move people from ships from the Russian mainland over to the Crimean Peninsula like they've done before. Why the ones going down there, if he's got a long game in plan in the works, it would seem interesting if he was trying to get everybody to focus their attention on Ukraine, when in reality, perhaps his main goal was down here in the Middle East. That's something to think about, at least. And just to remind you, we talked about these names here, Gog, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal. Gog is identified there. He says, set thy face against Gog, land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So Gog is identified as the chief prince, the leader or head of Meshach and Tubal. And it appears to be a leader that arises out of Magog, and Gog is described as a chief prince. The word translated as chief comes from the Hebrew word rosh, which is really kind of interesting. It sounds a lot like Russia. And the Hebrew scholar Gesenius, who lived in the 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, Gesenius, in his Hebrew lexicon, listed Rosh as the name for Russia. So kind of interesting, makes you think. Magog, along with Meshach and Tubal, is very interesting as well. In Genesis chapter 2, that we see that Magog's descendants, a son of Japheth, one of Noah's three sons, Magog's descendants migrated north of the Black and Caspian Seas and the Caucasus Mountains, settling in the northern regions of Central Asia. They became known as the Scythians, and of course, at the height, the Scythians controlled an area from the Ukraine in the west through Siberia in the east, north of Mongolia and Iran. So the land of Magog appears to represent what would be today Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. And then the descendants of Meshach, who also migrated north, appeared to have intermingled with the Scythians. They became known as the Moskai, later as the Moskovs. And Gesenius, again, as well as others, claimed that Moskai and Moskov are derived from Meshach, which is the root of the word of the capital of Russia, Moscow. Interesting, isn't it, when you look at this? And then, of course, Tubal's descendants migrated north, and they wound up in the area of the Central Asian Republic of Georgia, as well as up in southern and central Asia. The capital city of Georgia, Tbilisi, I'm trying to think it is, Tbilisi, Tbilisi, is derived from Tubal. There's also the Tubal River, which flows there in Central Asia. I believe it comes down through Kazakhstan, and then turns north and goes back up into Russia. And then there's the city of Tobolsk in Central Russia. And, of course, Tubal, the river, Tobolsk in Central Russia, are all derived from the name of Tubal. So we've got these groups there, Gog, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal, really points to some of these people there, Russia, Ukraine, Georgia, Kazakhstan, some of the areas around in there. There's other areas there, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, that are mentioned. I won't spend as much time on them. Persia, of course, is Iran. Ethiopia in Ezekiel's day would have been everything to the south of the upper cataracts of the Nile River, kind of where the Aswan Dam is today. That would be where Somalia, Ethiopia, Djibouti, places like that are today, Chad. And then Libya in Ezekiel's day was everything to the west of Egypt along the northern part of Africa. That would be Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, you know, areas like that. And then, of course, we had the other groups that was mentioned, Gomer and all his bands, with the House of Togarma, the North Quarters and all his bands. And this is interesting, too, because when we look at Gomer, we look at a large group of people who initially settled in the area of Turkey and then spread further northwest into Central and Eastern Europe, and a lot of people consider the Germans to be the descendants of Gomer, and of course they reached out into various parts of Scandinavian countries and things, and probably we could see them represented today by Germany, the Baltic countries, and Turkey, places like that. Of course, the Baltic countries would have been those ones that we talked about before, where you're looking at Romania, Moldova, places like that, Serbia, Bulgaria, places like that. And then, as we continue looking at these countries here, we've also got Togarma, which he was a son of Gomer in Genesis chapter 10. And Togarma and his descendants stayed largely where Turkey and Armenia is. And so the Turks and the Armenians, mostly on the south side of the Black Sea, would represent, that Turkey and Armenia would represent Togarma. And it's interesting how all of this is shaping up. You look at Germany in particular and some of these areas there. Russia is making them dependent on Russia for energy. And the Biden administration is very, very complicit in this, closing the Keystone pipeline. Remember, Biden did that. One of his first executive orders early on was closing the Keystone pipeline. And the United States went from being energy independent, actually one of the chief exporters of oil and natural gas in the world, and we've fallen from that position under the Biden administration. And then, of course, they gave permission for the pipeline that Russia wants in bringing natural gas into Germany and all. And so when you look at this, control of Ukraine is very important for the Russian plans, and supplying much of Eastern Europe with energy certainly makes them dependent on it, on Russia, and willing to be complicit with Russia. And that looks like that could be a way that Germany would not side with France and Britain and places like that, but instead would side with Russia during this coalition. Interestingly enough, Angela Merkel, the chancellor there in Germany, she came to power as in East Germany as a communist apparatchik, a communist party member working in the East German, communist East German government during the Cold War, when Germany was divided into East and West Germany, East Germany being communist and West Germany being free and having a free and open society, a capitalistic economy. And then when Germany reunited, Merkel was able eventually to merge into the political system of the United Germany, as eventually making it to the top position. So kind of interesting, she was active in East German communist politics while Putin was serving in the old Soviet KGB security forces as a KGB colonel. And so they've got common ties, and it's just kind of interesting the way things are shaping up. Do I think that we're about to see the Ezekiel 38 battle take place? No, I do not, because there's another battle in Psalm 83 that I believe needs to take place before that, which will result in the destruction of Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, in these areas like this, as well as a portion of Iran. Well, that's a whole other area which we're not going to get into right at the moment because we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. I just wanted to share some of that, felt led to share some of that here this evening before we get to our callers. But you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. We've got Nancy who's been waiting patiently. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. Now, I wanted to discuss Valentine's Day, since that's tomorrow.
Yes.
And from my impression, Valentine's Day is about love and loving somebody. And there's three different kinds of love, if I'm correct. Spiritual, like just like I'm in love with you, you know, the lustful kind. And then like a brotherly love. So I would like to concentrate, and I'm sure you would too, on the spiritual aspect of love and charity. And my favorite verse on that is, I've heard that it is the summary of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also I think of 1 Corinthians 13. It starts on verse 4, I think. Mm-hmm. Charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, does not behave itself unseemly, and so on and so. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just wanted to see what Bible verse do you like the best for Valentine's Day or about spiritual love? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, when you talked about John 3:16, that certainly is a tremendous passage right there in and of itself, because, you know, when you look at the fact that God loved us so much that he was willing to do that, that also reflects another passage in John 15. Let's see here, John 15:13, where it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I always thought that was pretty good, but Jesus actually laid down his life for his enemies. And when you think about that, that's greater love than any man is capable of. A great love for a human being, for a person, is to lay down his life for his friends. But to lay down your life for your enemies, that's something else entirely. And he loved us before we loved him, the Bible says. And so it's the greatest gift of love, because, you know, think about Valentine's Day. Normally think of the gift of, you know, we think of love and the gifts of love. You had mentioned in 1 Corinthians where it talks about, you know, charity. And for people who are not familiar with this, in the King James Bible, this is one of the reasons the King James Bible is better than the other English versions. It is precisely because it uses the word charity there. And the word charity, when he says, charity suffereth long, and charity envieth not, charity wanteth not itself, not puffed up. It uses this word charity over and over. Other Bibles replace it with the word love, which takes away the meaning. If you want to understand what Paul meant in this and what God was trying to say, you need the word charity as opposed to the word love, because charity is a form of love, but it's a form of love where you see somebody's need and you're willing to give to the need of that person. In other words, you're showing God's love to other people. I mean, we're obviously commanded to love one another in the Bible, but we're even supposed to love and have compassion on the unfortunate and everything. In fact, in church today, I was saying, how many hospitals and orphanages do you know of that were started by atheists? It's really not many. How about by Muslim, you know, by Muslim foundations, by Hindu foundations or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look
that's very true.
But you look at Jewish and Hebrew hospitals and orphanages, you'll see many. You'll see many.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we're trying to reflect the love of God. And this word charity is essentially, I describe it this way, love that gives. So if you're reading a Bible reading a Bible that replaces charity with just the generic word love, you're not getting the sense of the Scriptures. And people argue over which Bible version is better. Well, there's reasons we use the King James because it's translated from the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament and the Textus Receptus in the New Testament, unlike the modern versions. But it also is clearer and more precise in its meaning. Hey, Nancy, did you have more to say? Because we're coming up on the break here.
No, that's fine. Thank
you. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up. And God bless. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us there. You can listen to some past programs there, number of articles and different things that are there. You can also see some of the social media that we post things on, and Say we, actually, it's me who keeps all this up. So that's why it takes a little time sometimes to keep it up to date with all the current programs and everything. But we are current, I believe, through February 6th on our programs. You can also find links there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can see the latest article that I've got on there is about the death penalty. Is the death penalty biblical? And I don't get into so much in the way that the death penalty is implemented or for exactly what crimes it should or shouldn't be used for, but more just looking at the biblical basis for the death penalty and whether it applies to today or not. I believe when you look at that, you'll see clearly that it does apply today. And that's important because there's some leftist groups out there that are using the death penalty as a wedge issue to get into and to divide conservatives and even to divide churches over this issue. So you might find that helpful. I may follow up one of these days with another article looking at the way that it's implemented. I do touch on it a little bit in the article, but mostly I'm making the case that, yes, the death penalty is biblical, not only in the Old Testament era, but also in the New Testament in the present day. And so I think you'll find that a blessing. And then, of course, there's some other materials there. And you, like I said, you find links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, the main sponsor of the program, as well as East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Just reference them as well. It's another sponsor of our program. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them right here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program here tonight and our callers. Our toll-free number, as I said, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. We've got Terry waiting patiently. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Well, good evening. Welcome. Thanks for hanging on for me here.
Yes, I always like calling in, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
A lot of things going on. I was going to mention one thing. I come to this conclusion. I've been mean. I no longer listen to what people say. I just watch what they do.
I'm trying to think. I believe it was Churchill. Winston Churchill said something to that effect, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're the lady that you were talking to on Friday brought that up.
Yes, that's right. That's why I heard it. That's why it's not that I'm so brilliant and I have all these quotes in my memory banks. You know, it's just I just heard that recently, and that's why for those that aren't familiar with what Terry's saying is we had Janet Folger Porter on the program with us this past Friday afternoon, and that program's not uploaded just yet, and she had quoted Winston Churchill, where he talked about not paying so much attention to what people say, but rather watching what they do. As people say a lot of things, but it's what they do that really counts. And of course, she actually said on our radio, I guess, she said we were the first radio program she announced this on, that she is now running for Ohio's 13th Congressional District as representative. So that's kind of neat to have that. But any rate, she's also the author of the Heartbeat Bill that we passed here in Ohio, currently held up in the courts, and she was influential in getting it passed in Texas. And the Texas Heartbeat Bill is actually in place, functioning right now. It's been through some court challenges, and it's functioning, saving the lives of unborn children every day. And she's got that passed and helped to get that passed in a number of other states, and she's put forward the effort to get it passed on the federal level. And if she should go to Congress, that's one of her goals. is to do that on the federal level and keep praying. I mean, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court amendment decision from 1974 is on the ropes. It may possibly be done away with, and this is going to go back to the states, and that's where these heartbeat bills become very important. Anything that reins in the number of abortions saves lives. But at any rate, little off from where you're at there, Terry, but thanks for bringing that up.
And I enjoy listening to you and John Lutz and John Lutz too at 1 o'clock. And he's talking, he's teaching on Psalms 1.
Yes, yeah, he had a good program on this past Sunday, and I have my calendar sitting here. He's actually going to be filling in for me on I didn't mention this earlier. Let me check, take a look here. On Friday the 25th, that's not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, I'm not going to be able to make it into the studio that day, and I could do it remotely, or I could send in do a recorded program, but I'd rather have somebody do a live program, and he lets me fill in for him every once in a while, so I like to let him fill in for me, and Pastor Lutz will be filling in for me, not this Friday, but the following Friday on our 1:30 program. And for people who haven't listened to his program, he has a program on every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, from 1 o'clock until 1:30. Then we're on at 1:30 till 2 o'clock. And of course, he's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And then following me at 2 o'clock for half an hour, we have Pastor Andrew Isnacko, pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. And it was Pastor Lutz that coined the term the Baptist trifecta. So they got the three of us on there, and certainly those are both good programs to listen to.
I like his teachings on Psalms 1, too.
Yes.
I actually memorized that chapter.
Yeah, and he started a series on that, and he was doing that this past Friday.
Yeah, and so I really enjoy that. I've been enjoying that. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit here tonight, if you don't mind. Then when you were talking to Nancy, you brought up Corinthians chapter 13.
Correct, yeah.
And I was talking to somebody earlier today about this. We can give everything to the poor, in Corinthians chapter 13.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let me turn back over there. Where?
Three.
Yeah, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
I could still give everything that I got to the poor and still not have charity.
Right. And there's a lot of people now, I don't know about the income tax code in Canada, but in the United States, there's a lot of people who make gifts and donations at the end of the year so that they can deduct from their taxes, their income tax, federal income taxes. And they're not doing it because they are particularly compassionate. They're doing it because they want to reduce their tax liability. It's more of a financial decision than a compassion decision. If you do that just for the financial benefit to yourself, there's really nothing. In fact, if you look at that, it doesn't say I have nothing. You look at the end of verse 2. Let me go back up there a second. Verse 2, where he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. He says this, he says, I am nothing. And then verse 3 that we were looking at, where he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he says, it profiteth me nothing. And I think it's kind of interesting how those two statements there, the end of verse 2, I am nothing, and the end of verse 3, it profiteth me nothing. And
the way I look at it, too, is if we don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. what do we have?
Nothing.
We have nothing.
And what are you? Nothing. And what does it profit you? Nothing.
Nothing.
And
I think that's what this is all saying.
Uh-huh.
to my understanding, anyway.
Yeah, I believe you're onto something there when you're looking at that. Let's see. I was thinking about a passage here. I'm going to see if I well, we'll keep talking. I'll look for it while we're talking because I'm not sure where I had it at. But we were talking about compassion and the necessity of compassion. Actually, I think it's in 1 John chapter 3. Let's go back there. 1 John chapter 3. Found a little faster than I expected here. Saw the reference that I had written down for something earlier for church today. And 1 John chapter 3, and we come into verse number 17. And this really ties right in with what we're looking at about charity. And again, the word charity there in 1 Corinthians 13 is a word for love. The modern Bibles, like the New International Version, English Standard Version, whatever, a lot of them have replaced charity with just the generic word love, which is a mistake on their part. Charity is a much better word because charity is love that gives, and we can see it. We can see it laid out for us here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16 and 17, where he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And then in verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need," let's pause there for a minute. We see God in verse 16 who saw the need that we had, and he gave everything for us. He laid down his life for us. Okay. Now in verse 17, he's talking about us seeing a fellow human being that has need. And, you know, he says, and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? And then he continues in verse 18 where he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And that's interesting, and in truth. Because if we have the love of God in us, the love of God ought to be expressed through us in the things that we do and the things that we say. Remember, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so if we have the love of God in us, then it ought to come out through us and be visible to the world around us. And that's what he's talking about here. Just like God's love was demonstrated in a very profound way, the love that we have will be demonstrated by helping meeting the needs of others. Here, 1 John chapter 3, where he talks about compassion and the love of God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he talks about charity, because charity is compassionate. It's love that sees the need of someone else and says, "I can help with that need. I care for this person. I love this person. I am going to help them."
Especially the brother.
Yes. And that's why charity is such a better word in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If somebody out there is reading a Bible that doesn't use the word charity there, go get yourself a King James Bible. You'll benefit from it. It's a better Bible. It's more accurate, and it comes from the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Textus Receptus, unlike the other versions that are out there on the market. You'll also find that there's words and passages in your King James Bible that are completely missing from the modern versions. And another thing that you'll see in your King James Bible is long sentences that develop thoughts rather than short, choppy sentences that chop up the thoughts and help prevent you from seeing how they all tie together and are related. The King James just will help you in so many ways. If you want to understand God's Word, don't waste your time on these other versions. Get a King James Bible. It'll be a blessing to you. Are there some words that are going to be a little difficult to read? Sure, but you get used to it. there's plenty of helps out there to help you through it. And, you know, I mean, you're not going to have to worry in the King James what a satrap is, though. I'm sure everybody knows what a satrap is. I believe that's in the New International Version of the Bible. Instead of calling somebody a governor or ruler, I think it uses the term satrap. You know, makes so much more sense, doesn't it? So much clearer. But another thing you'll see in your King James Bible that you miss in the other ones, is a distinguishing feature that helps you see the difference between the singular personal pronouns and the plural personal pronouns. And in the King James Bible, in the 1600s, the distinction between singular personal pronouns and plural personal pronouns had largely disappeared from the English language, and the King James translators wanted to capture accurately the sense of the scripture, so they actually reached back to the 1400s when the English language still maintained a distinction between singular and plural personal pronouns, and they used an older form of English in order, it wasn't the way they spoke in the 1600s, in order to convey the sense of the scriptures. And that's the ye's and the these that so many people seem to struggle over. And it's very simple if you remember that it starts with the letter Y, like you, your, and ye. It's a plural personal pronoun. If it starts with a TH like thee, thou, and thine, it's a singular personal pronoun. People say, well, what's the difference? And when you're in front of a group, it's easy to show the difference. If I say, I'm going to give you $100, and I'm talking to a group of a dozen people, does that mean I'm going to give everybody $100? Or am I going to give $100 to be divided amongst the group that's there? Or does it mean the person that I'm looking at when I'm speaking? But if I'm looking at somebody and I say, I'm going to give thee $100, then that person knows they're the one getting the $100. Nobody else is but them, because I used a singular personal pronoun. So it does make a difference in the scripture, and you'll see that. Some passages, you'll see it easier than others, obviously. But again, these are some things, the words that are used here, and you'll find these words. You have trouble with words, follow the advice that my teachers in grade school at Richfield Elementary School when I was growing up. My teachers, when you would ask what a word meant, they would say, here's the dictionary, look it up. And if you do that, you'll find these words. And they're not as difficult as people make them out to be. So, anyway, we got off onto a few things.
I believe it's, you know, like, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and the Muslims and all that. They do good. They help a lot of people.
But a lot of times it's out of obligation more than out of love and compassion.
Right. Yeah, they think that that's what they have to do to get the heaven.
Now, I will clarify what I just said. There are some people who just are giving people.
Right.
Regardless of whether they're saved or not, whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Mormon or whatever, some people are just naturally giving people.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Whatsoever. The world needs people like that. And what has been my experience is when somebody who's naturally a giving sort of person comes to Christ, they put their faith in Christ and they're saved, then the opportunity that God gives them to use that tendency, that desire to give, becomes magnified. And it turns into kind of what you're seeing here in 1 Corinthians 13, the charity. And plus the Bible talks about the gift of helps. There are some people that, you know, they just see that somebody needs help and they want to give to meet that need. They're just that way. And
everybody out there needs help in one way or another.
Yeah, but some people just see it more than others. And part of that is their nature. And part of that is the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives. And when you see that person with that giving nature, in fact, if you look just earlier up in chapter 12 there, we're in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, where he says that in verse 4, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And see, we look at these gifts that are made available, and in the way that they operate, the way they're administrated, the way that they're manifested, it can be different. People with the same gifts can have differences, like I said, in the way that it's administered, operated, or manifested because of the way the Spirit is working through them. And as God works through us, He uses our nature that we have, you know, the abilities that we have and the things that we have, but He also uses the spiritual gifts and abilities that He gives us. And the more we surrender and dedicate ourselves to the Lord, the greater His ability to use us and to do things that we would have never thought possible on our own.
Yeah, and like myself, I remain single, so I guess that could be my gift too, for the gospel's sake.
Well, and sometimes it is, because there are things that you can do as a single person that other people cannot do.
Right. A lot more. Like,
yeah.
Paul said, I would that you would be like me and not married.
Yeah, but he also referenced Peter, who took his wife around with him on occasion.
Right.
And so, there's some areas where a husband and wife team are much more appropriate and useful. Some areas where a single man or a single woman is much more appropriate or useful. And look at a husband and wife that has children versus some that have no children. And God has different areas for us to labor. And sometimes there's couples in the ministry that don't have children of their own, and God gives them opportunity to do things that other people in the ministry with children cannot do.
Right.
And it doesn't mean so much that one's better or worse than the other. It just means that God is working through us. He has a plan for us. And if we'll yield ourselves over to Him, after we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, and then we yield ourselves over to Him on a daily basis, it's amazing the things that God can do with us and through us if we'll let Him. He's not going to force us, but yeah, this is why we have to keep yielding ourselves, as I said, on a daily basis. Hey, Terry, we're about out of time here, but do thank you for calling here. Appreciate our other callers here this evening as well, Nancy and all. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you're out on the highways and it's snowing, be careful. A little slippery out there in spots, but have a great week. God bless, and thanks for listening.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.